The fall season is now in full swing. For example, this past Monday, the Metropolitan Opera opened its season with a new production of L'Elisir d'Amore, a classic love story by Donizetti that's one of the Met's most popular comic operas in repertory. The American tenor Matthew Polenzani has already gotten raves for his performance as the lovesick villager Nemorino, who's besotted with Adina, sung by Anna Netrebko. If the staging has more of a psychological charge and darker overtones than usual, but also has a lot of laughs, well, that's thanks to Bartlett Shear, the Tony Award-winning stage director who may be best known for his Broadway productions of South Pacific and Light in the Piazza. I'm very pleased now to have the chance to talk with both Matthew Polenzani and Bartlett Shear. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Bart, L'Elisir d'Amore has been popular at the Met, but it's never been performed on opening night. But I was wondering, is there a growing Donizetti tradition? Last year opened with the composer's a lot darker opera, Anna Bolena, also with Anna Netrebko.
I think it's more about Anna Netrebko than Donizetti. I don't know.
Is she the ideal Donizetti soprano?
She's one of the ideal sopranos in general. She's just incredible, and having her in New York as kind of our leading diva is a great thing.
Well, she gets a lot of high notes to sing, and she sings them fabulously. So how do you go about reimagining an opera that's been around so long?
Well, it's funny. It's an opera that's been done probably, and Matthew can verify this even better than I, since he's been in many productions, been done every possible way. And I looked at many, many versions and sort of was struck by possibly doing it in Italy in 1836 when it was written, not because it was more imaginative on my part, but because I was really drawn to the Austrians' occupation of Italy at the time and the kind of sort of world of it, and it seemed to evoke the music better.
So you went back to the art of the time?
Yeah, the art and the period and the history of the time and what was going on, and it's kind of the way I go about it. I like to kind of dig deep into the root of where I am. I often have replaced, you know, musicals or operas or plays in new locations, but this one really seemed very grounded in that actual time.
Now, Matthew, Bart just pointed out that you have sung this role many times, but this is the first time you've performed Nemorino at the Met?
Right, that's right.
Although you've been at the Met on and off over the years. How would you describe Nemorino? Does he feel he's inadequate as a suitor for Adina?
Well, I don't know that he's inadequate, except I think he's an adequate suitor for her, but who hasn't accessed his adequateness yet. He is growing, the things that happen to him help him. Yeah, okay, it helps that that Adina sees that he is beloved, and sees, maybe she's jealous a little bit by all these girls who are chasing after him when they find out he's drunk, even though Nemorino has no idea about that, you know. I mean, find out that he's won all this, that he got all this money from his uncle.
He's inherited a lot of money. He's a really poor guy, and suddenly he's very rich.
Very rich.
Right.
And that's up until that point, she has flirted quite heavily with him, but Adina tells him that she prefers to play the field.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think this is a part of her twisting the knife a little bit, trying to get him to up his game and become the man who she thinks perhaps Nemorino could be. And of course, Nemorino, he doesn't really get that. He is only aware of the feeling that he's having for himself and his inability to sort of man up under the situation that he's in. And you know, it's a hard thing for a guy to recognize his own inadequacies and try and make a difference of them rather than just accepting his fate, you know, and this is the kind of guy I am and I'm stuck here.
Does singing opposite Anna Netrebko force you to up your game?
Well, in a way, I mean, she is certainly one of the greatest singers going today, and you could arguably maybe one of the greatest singers of all time. I mean, the voice, when you stand next to it, it's so great to be near, and even as a stage animal too, she's very open and it's funny, for as a big a diva as she is, and again, arguably she's the greatest, the biggest diva that we have in opera today, she is incredibly grounded and normal and pretty much a regular person outside of what's being required of her, in the opera world, you know. And as a colleague, you could hardly hope to find better. She really Yeah, she does a good job in making the people around her better, you know, which is a nice thing.
Now, Bart, it felt at times as if they were improvising the playfulness on stage. Was that something you worked on in rehearsal?
Yeah, I mean, mostly what I try and do is, I mean, it's funny about someone like Nemorino. I always think because Italy was occupied at the time by the Austrians, they felt a little bit like Nemorino. They weren't quite good enough to be in charge of their own country. And so it's a kind of secret little narrative.
This is pre-Garibaldi.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a narrative about can you be strong enough to stand up to a Belcore and do it. When you're making an opera, the only thing that, or any kind of really good comedy, you have to both build in all of the circumstances and allow and trust your actors to have enough freedom to play so that you feel the spontaneity and the truthfulness like alive in front of you, and then you feel like it's a real event.
Well, opera singers haven't been noted for their acting skills in the past. Has that changed in recent years? Because the acting here would be perfectly fine if they weren't singing.
Yeah, I don't personally ever have that experience. Both Matthew and Anna and Mariusz are all incredible actors. What people don't realize is what they're physically doing at the same time they're acting is extremely demanding.
Yeah, and in your case, Matthew, you are falling all over the place, being thrown all over the place. You run around a lot. I was amazed you weren't out of breath at times.
Well, you know, it's funny, as productions go anyway, and I think this is the sixth one for me, or the fifth or the sixth one for me, this is not the most active I've had to be. There are others that were much worse. Much different, actually. I mean, in terms of what's being required physically. But, you know, I would say, oddly enough, last year I had La Traviata, the Willy Decker Traviata, and he had to sing Demi e Bollenti Spiriti while he's playing a game of hide and seek, which I found to be much more demanding because of the, if you think of the tension in your body when you're seeking someone out, was not particularly conducive to singing. And whereas the kind of tension that Nemorino's under here is sort of a looser tension. It's a body-free tension, which allows me to, I can actually kind of breathe in the normal way. And also, you know, like if there's a moment when, it happened on opening night, though it didn't happen last night, there was a moment during opening night when I could feel like my breath was getting a little high and I was starting to get a little out of breath. And there were times when I could actually take a moment and relax. And this is one of the great things about, you know, we were just talking about, you said maybe we were improvising. I mean, it's not so much improvisation as we have some specific points that we need to hit. And what happens in between those points, be they lighting cues or spots where we need to be because someone's coming in or we need a door clear or whatever, that sort of stuff happens in every opera. But what happens in between those points could change slightly, you know, from performance to performance, depending on the confidence of the performer in being able to react to what's being done around them.
Now,
you know?
Bart, and people rehearse, the rehearsal periods are a lot shorter for an opera.
Yeah.
Do you wish you could have more time?
I've stopped that sort of thinking at all entirely. It's too hard. It's too painful to worry about those things.
Well, because you do both.
Yeah.
And they're also singing at half voice, aren't they?
Yeah.
That isn't likely to happen if you're doing South Pacific.
I think about it a little bit more like I'm getting the Yankees ready to play baseball. And you actually practice and practice and practice, but you don't really know what's going to be like when the pitches start getting thrown or when the guys get into the game. And what's really beautiful about opera singers is if you lay all this stuff in and you give them all these tools and then they add to it that extra spirit, that extra burst, you really see them literally swing for the fences. And that is what makes the evening so exciting and very different from a theater evening. Theater is an internal exploration, or maybe even comedy can be very technical. But opera is a weird mixture of highly technical and this enormous elusive going for something very special each night. And that's what makes it kind of when it's great, it's the most breathtaking art form you could ever want to see.
Mm. Now, Matt, you debuted at the Met in 1997. Since then, you've done over 250 performances there, but I gather you came to opera through left field. Isn't your grandfather somebody who we would not suspect to be related to somebody who does what you do?
Well, it depends on how you're thinking of it. I mean, he was a famous monk. So my grandfather was the Empire Carpet guy, who, especially if you're from Chicago, you would know who that is, because his television spots there were legendary. And whenever he would go to a ball game or when he came to see me at the opera, he would sign autographs, lots of autographs. And you did get to see his face here. And I mean, Empire Carpet became a nationwide company eventually, but he was never as, I wouldn't say he's as famous here as he was in other places. But what I was going to say is he was a very, very successful barbershopper, and his barbershop quartet took third internationally, I think, on a couple of occasions.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, barbershop is a far cry from opera, but I mean, the musical side of it still stands. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say, I mean, I shared his love of music anyway.
Well, Bart, how many more performances?
I think they have 6 more performances.
Through October,
yeah.
13th. Matthew Polanzani plays Nemorino in the Metropolitan Opera's opening night production of Donizetti's L'Elysée d'Amore. There's also a live HD series, and Bart LeSure directed. Thank you both so much.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.